The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Loss in our lives takes on many different forms and can be more than just a physical loss. It goes beyond that to include emotional loss, business loss, and loss of personal health. This is Voices for Healing with Kathy Roberts. Today, Kathy and her guests will help you find out that you are not alone in dealing with loss and grief. There are so many different ways to deal with loss. What works for some may not work for others. Together, let's find the solution that you can use. Here's your host, Kathy Roberts.
Welcome, everyone, to Voices for Healing Talk Radio, dedicated to helping you develop skills and practices to heal loss and come alive. I'm your host, Kathy Roberts. I'm a professional counselor and educator specializing in loss, depression, and anxiety. You can learn more on my website, Kathy with a C, KathyRoberts.net. Before I introduce today's guest, I want to tell you listeners that I still have a few openings in my three-session teleclass called Focus Your Mind, Engage Your Energy, Awaken Your Inner Guide. This class by phone begins tomorrow evening, Tuesday, April 1st at 7 p.m. Eastern. All the information for registration is available on the classes page of my website. And if you want more information, just phone or email me. Phone me at 301-651-0019. Or email at Kathy@KathyRoberts.net. This teleclass includes lecture, experiential exercises, and time for questions and discussion, and is limited to 10 participants. Today, my guest is Hani Maletsky. Hello, Hani, and welcome to Voices for Healing.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad you're on the show. Let me tell our listeners about you before we get into the meat of our program. Hani Maletsky is a PhD and MSW. She's a psychotherapist in private practice in Bethesda, Maryland. She's a licensed clinical social worker with a master's degree from the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C. And she earned her doctoral degree in human sexuality from the Institute for Advanced Study of Human Sexuality in San Francisco, California. She's a certified sex therapist and supervisor by the American Association of Sexuality Educators, Counselors, and Therapists. She's the author of Mother-Son Incest, The Unthinkable Broken Taboo Persists, and Understanding Bestiality and Zoophilia, as well as a variety of other professional articles and chapters in professional literature. Dr. Maletsky has trained and supervised other therapists and professionals in the field of human sexuality and has lectured in various national and international professional conferences. And our topic, prostate cancer and sexuality, is one of her recent lecture topics. From our introduction, you can tell that Hani, Dr. Maletsky, is willing to dive into important and sometimes considered taboo territory. So I really appreciate her willingness to be with us on this subject of prostate cancer and sexuality, which is so important to so many people. In the hour ahead, Hani will share information on the prostate gland and treatment options for prostate cancer. We will delve into the physical and psychological side effects of this cancer diagnosis and treatment and discuss the all-important impact of prostate cancer on the sex lives of men and their partners. We'll look at both attitude and behavior changes that support a positive sex life after diagnosis and treatment. Boy, we really have a full hour ahead of us here, Hani. Let's start with the basics. What is the prostate gland?
Well, the prostate gland, first of all, just to make clear, only men have it. And it is a walnut-sized gland that sits below the bladder and in front of the rectum at the bottom of the pelvis. The prostate surrounds part of the urethra, and it's the prostate that adds the vital nutrients and fluids to the sperm.
Okay, thank you. And we will be talking about both prostate cancer and another condition that can affect this prostate gland as well, which is called benign prostatic hyperplasia, which is even more prevalent but has some of the same effects on men.
I just wanted to say, usually prostate cancer doesn't have any symptoms. If there are symptoms, it's either like in a very late stage of the cancer, or it actually mimics the side effects of the benign prostate hyperplasia, which is BPH for short. So go ahead.
I'm glad you jumped in and let us know about that lack of symptoms. And that's where the connection is between prostate cancer and BPH, is the symptoms can appear the same. Is that what you're saying?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. And what exactly is the BPH?
The BPH is basically just a growth of the cells within the prostate gland. It's usually non-cancerous, excuse me, and most men have it. It's something that happens as men age. It's pretty normal. And, you know, by age 60, more than half of men have it. By age 85, more than 90% have it. It doesn't lead to prostate cancer, but men can have both.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably want to know about the symptoms.
Yes, please.
Because that's the thing that upsets men the most, the symptoms. And
is this the symptoms of BPH and prostate cancer in an advanced stage?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And because the prostate gland surrounds the urethra, the effects are really affect urination. So men may have either weak or slower urinary stream, a sense that the bladder is not empty, there may be a delay in starting their urination, frequent urination, urinary urgency, and so forth. There may be burning sensations or pain during urination, or a sudden and complete inability to urinate. So it's all really about urination. And there are medications for that can be taken, like alpha blockers. There's different nutritional supplements. And there's some procedures that doctors can perform. Some are more invasive than others. In my experience, you want to try to avoid these procedures as much as possible, because sometimes the procedure leaves the man with even more side effects. But of course, you know, the men that come to see me are usually the ones with the problem. So
yes.
I'm very biased. There are people that I see, the results are very skewed here.
Yes, the people who have positive results from the treatment aren't the ones coming in to your office and saying help. So, yes. As you talked about the effects of the advanced prostate cancer and the BPH, and I was thinking about men who might be listening to the program and are hearing the side effects about weaker, slower urination and a sense of bladder urgency and so forth, and thinking, well, how does a man know which of the conditions that he has? How would he be able to figure out whether his condition is that kind of normal benign condition of aging or something that is cancerous and he needs to deal with?
Well, here lies the problem. When they start feeling symptoms, or hopefully even before that on a regular annual basis, they should see either an internist or a urologist to check it out. Mm-hmm. One of the tests is the digital rectal exam, which the doctor performs by inserting their finger into their anus. Mm-hmm. And the doctor may then feel if the prostate is bigger or larger than it's supposed to be or not. The doctor can also feel if there's any ridges in the prostate, because it's supposed to be smooth. But that's just the preliminary test. The most common test is the PSA test, which is a blood test. It stands for prostate specific antigen. And this blood test is really a very good thing to do once a year for men, usually from their 40s. And that tells you if there is something to worry about. They get a number that I don't want to get into too much specifics here.
Sure.
But basically, there's a number that comes together with the results, and anything about 4 is a red flag. Mm-hmm. Also, if there was, let's say, a PSA that was 1, and the next year it doubled to 2, that could be also a warning sign. Like, if it goes up too quickly, that's a warning sign. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I hear a lot of men don't know, and the doctors neglect to tell them in advance, is that the PSA can come up with a large number, large result, if they had intense exercise right before, or they had sex, or they have a urinary tract infection or prostatitis. Any of these things can actually elevate the PSA number. So it's good to just relax the day or two before they take the test and then take it. And usually if the test comes up with the number too high or high enough to cause alarm, the doctor will perform the blood test again, just to make sure that it's not a false positive.
Excellent information for men to get tested annually once they're in their 40s, to watch the numbers of the PSA test, and if they're above 4 or go up quickly within 1 year, that might be worth checking out. And I love that information that you gave about things that can increase the number that men might not know about, like exercise or sexual activity or some kind of infection or other imbalance in that area that might
really
lead to something that looks like a false positive. But
yeah, it amazes me sometimes that men are not being told about it in advance, and then they get a high number and they freak out, and it turns out to be nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I really appreciate you knowing that and informing our listeners about that, because I think that can be something that they can put in their mind, just as before we have other kind of tests, before a blood test, we don't eat for 12 hours or whatever. Well, mm-hmm. Go easy on the exercise, easy on the sex for that time before the test. So I really appreciate that.
Sure.
What kind of treatment options are there for prostate cancer? Maybe just a brief overview of those treatment options.
Well, first of all, let me just go back before we go into treatment.
Sure.
Just because we have a high number of PSA, that still doesn't mean anything. So the men still have to go a biopsy.
Okay.
And in my experience, there's a new development where men can have a biopsy guided by ultrasound. And that is a much better way to do that, because then the doctor actually sees where he performs the biopsy. Usually the way it's done is that the doctor inserts some kind of a needle through the rectum, because that's the closest place that they can reach the prostate. And they kind of shoot blindly. They shoot the needle into the prostate, usually in 12 different locations, to get a little, microscopic piece of prostate. And then they evaluate it to see if there's any cancer.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is that if they don't see where they're going and they just pick 12 different locations, they may not actually find that there's cancer. So some men go through this biopsy several times as their PSAs rise, and they still are not being treated for anything because the diagnosis has not been made. So that can be a lengthy process and a painful process, because the biopsy is a very uncomfortable procedure to go through.
So another really helpful and important information for our listeners out there, which is talk to your doctor about the biopsy being guided by ultrasounds so that the doctors can see more and know more about what's really going on in there. Sounds like something really good for mm-hmm. people to know. Okay. Honey, we're coming up on our first break. Listeners, stay with us. We're going to take a brief break, and we will be right back to continue our conversation about prostate cancer and sexuality. Stay with us.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Kathy Roberts is not only an exceptional radio host, she's an exceptional listener and counselor. Kathy appeals to motivated, high-functioning people to help them improve their health and vitality. Kathy can meet you where you are and help you identify what you want. Visit Kathy's website at www.kathyroberts.net or call her at 301-651-0019. Kathy works with both individuals and couples and specializes in grief and depression counseling. Get to know yourself by working with Kathy. Visit kathyroberts.net or call 301-651-0019. Kathy Roberts offers Circle of Voices teleclasses to help you focus your mind, engage your energy, and awaken your inner guide. Through this experiential and interactive series, you will know yourself more and learn to express yourself authentically in your personal life. Visit Kathy's website at kathyroberts.net to find out about this teleclass series, designed to open you to change and engage healing in the fabric of your life. Go to kathyroberts.net or call Kathy at 301-651-0019 for more information.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to Voices for Healing with your host, Kathy Roberts. If you have a question or comment for the program, please send an email to Kathy at KathyRoberts.net. That's Kathy at KathyRoberts.net. Now back to Voices for Healing.
This is Kathy Roberts with Hani Maletsky, and we're talking about prostate cancer and sexuality. Hani, we were just getting ready to begin to talk about the treatment options for prostate cancer. Can you pick up there for us?
Indeed. There are several treatment options which also tend to confuse men because unlike other forms of cancer where the doctor tells you this is what I recommend, usually men are left to choose. And I'll just run by some of them. There is hormone therapy. There is radiation, different forms of radiation. There is surgery, which is the most common form of treatment in the United States. There is cryotherapy, which is freezing of the prostate gland. And the one that is the most common form of therapy, in parentheses, is watchful waiting, which is the most common one in Europe. Watchful waiting means you really don't do anything but continue to have PSA tests, continue to watch what you're eating, exercise, and do all those good things for your health, and really don't do anything until you have to do something. Because prostate cancer usually grows very, very slowly, and most men die with it and not from it. However, there are some strands that are very, very aggressive. And obviously, if you're diagnosed with prostate cancer, you want to make sure that you don't have those aggressive ones. And if you do, you want to then do something about it.
Yes. Go ahead.
Shall I go into the side effects?
That was my next question for you. Yes, I appreciate those. You're telling us those treatment options and giving the overview and what some of the differences are between U.S. and European treatment. And then I'm sure that we do want to hear what the side effects are, including those affecting sexual function and pleasure.
Sure. So no matter what treatment option the man chooses, unless it is watchful waiting, it's usually the same side effects. Because no matter what treatment option you choose, it will affect, create some damage to nerves and blood vessels. Even if the doctor does the surgery, tells you that they will spare nerves and they will do anything to not touch, you know, anything and damage anything, it's really impossible to not damage anything, because once they go in there, it's so microscopic, all the nerves and everything. There's no way that they're not going to touch something. And also, if they go in and they see that the cancer has spread in one direction or another, they're going to treat that. They're going to deal with that, even if they have to damage some nerves or blood vessels. So there's always some damage. And that damage creates a lot of side effects that are usually sexual, because of the nature of the place that the surgery or the procedure is being held. Mm-hmm. So getting sexually excited may take longer. Orgasm may feel different. Ejaculation may be different. Or if they had a prostatectomy surgery, then there's no ejaculation. Erection may not be as rigid, may not last as long, may be missing altogether. There may be stress incontinence. All of this may cause lack of sexual desire, fatigue, depression. You know, the list goes on.
So one of the things that we want men to know, who, particularly those who are choosing an option other than watchful waiting, is that any kind of treatment will impact their sexual function in some way physically. And when that happens, that's normal given the treatment that they've had.
Yeah, and it is expected.
It's expected, yes. Yes. And you tapped into it a little bit as you talked about the possibility of depression and some other things like that arising. And I want to make sure that we also talk about the psychological side effects that men may experience as a result of the physical changes in their sexual function.
Sure. Of course, I already mentioned the depression. And, of course, if things don't function the way they used to, it's a big adjustment, and it's really, really hard, especially when men experience erectile dysfunction. Erections are so important for men. You know, it's part of their manhood. It's part of their identity for a lot of men. And when that part of their life doesn't function the way it used to, it is a huge loss. And so there's, like I said, depression, a huge adjustment. The partner may have issues with that as well that they need to work on. There's all kinds of feeling of, you know, am I man enough, and so forth. The dry orgasms, if ejaculation doesn't happen anymore, that could be a big issue for some men, because for them, even if they are able to have sex and have erections and have orgasms, you know, orgasm and ejaculation are two separate parts. And a man can still have an orgasm but may not have an ejaculation. But for some men, it's so connected that when that doesn't happen together, it's also a big loss for them. I know one patient of mine told me that, you know, he functions very well. He had the surgery. He can have erections. He has orgasms. He's enjoying sex, and everything is great. But he doesn't have ejaculations. And he told me if he had known that, he would not have had the surgery.
Hmm. It's telling how important that is.
Yeah, for some men.
For some men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. other issues can come up with, you know, when men just feel like, you know, what's the point? You know, it's not going to work like it used to, and they start looking for excuses not to have sex, and they create sort of like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, it's not going to work, so why even bother? You know, I'm too old for this, and you know, things like that. And when you start thinking so negatively about things like that, you know, you make it happen. It becomes reality. And when you don't have sex in a relationship, especially when you are used to having sex in a relationship, it really affects the quality of the relationship, the dynamics.
And yes, I was just thinking about the next question I wanted to ask you, which is how partners of men who are undergoing treatment or have undergone treatment are affected and impacted by the changes in the man's sexual functioning.
Yeah, it definitely affects the partners because, especially if the partner is a female, you know, the whole dynamics in the relationship can change. You know, now, you know, I'm being very stereotypical here, but usually you have the man who wants to have sex more often. I know it's not happening in every relationship, but that's sort of the stereotype.
Yes.
And if the man now doesn't want to have sex or has difficulties and the woman wants to have sex, that, you know, that changes the whole dynamic. And that's, again, a huge adjustment. And if couples cannot talk about it and communicate and share their feelings and their needs and their wants, you know, a lot of times the relationship just goes downhill from there. Especially if there were issues in the relationships before, which often happens. I mean, usually a relationship is not, you know, perfect. There's always something going on. And when there's a crisis, everything becomes larger than what it was before.
So an important thing for partners to remember, for couples who are going through this to remember, is that their relationship skills, their especially communication skills, are going to need to be strengthened, and if they need some help doing that, maybe they need to reach out and get some help during this crisis time, because the stress of this diagnosis and the changes that impact both of them in the partnership might be more than they know how to deal with by themselves.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. It seems that some of the effects of prostate cancer on their and their partners, on men and their partners, occur among other people as we age as well. And you tapped into that in some ways earlier. So I want to maybe keep our focus on prostate cancer and sexuality, and also let our listeners know that some of what you might be talking about in the minutes ahead may be useful for men and their partners, even if they haven't had prostate cancer. Would you say that that's correct, some of what you'll be sharing?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. I thought that might be worth naming and noting as we move forward for our listeners to know that.
Sure.
Well, you also say in some of the information that you provided to me ahead of time is that men have three choices when prostate cancer impacts their lives. They can end their sex life, or they can use medications and aids that are available to help them, and or they can make a conscious choice to change the way they make love and interact with a partner. And you and I are in the business of change and personal transformation, and we clearly value this option. And I wonder how you help men and their partners buy into the potential to have a better connection with each other, even when they're going through the trauma of cancer and the after effects.
Well, this is indeed one of the biggest challenges, especially when the issue is erections. It's a really huge challenge to sell men the idea that they can have great sex without an erection. But what I try to tell them, and, you know, when people have cancer, it changes their life in many different ways. You may start eating different kinds of food. You may watch your weight. You start exercising. You start traveling. You know, you look at life differently because you just faced a life-threatening situation. And so people reevaluate their life and do things differently. Why not do the same when it comes to sex? So I teach them different ways to be sexual and intimate and sensual and have fun in different ways that do not necessarily require an erection.
I want to stop us right here for just a moment, and I want to be able to come back to this because I think this, what you're talking about right now, is really important and key to thinking positively about sex post prostate cancer treatment. But it is time for us to take a short break. You are listening to Voices for Healing with Kathy Roberts and guest Hani Maletsky, and we will be right back.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Kathy Roberts offers Circle of Voices teleclasses to help you focus your mind, engage your energy, and awaken your inner guide. Through this experiential and interactive series, you will know yourself more and learn to express yourself authentically in your personal life. Visit Kathy's website at kathyroberts.net to find out about this teleclass series, designed to open you to change and engage healing in the fabric of your life. Go to kathyroberts.net or call Kathy at 301-651-0019 for more information. Kathy Roberts is not only an exceptional radio host, she's an exceptional listener and counselor. Kathy appeals to motivated, high-functioning people to help them improve their health and vitality. Kathy can meet you where you are and help you identify what you want. Visit Kathy's website at www.kathyroberts.net or call her at 301-651-0019. Kathy works with both individuals and couples and specializes in grief and depression counseling. Get to know yourself by working with Kathy. Visit kathyroberts.net or call 301-651-0019.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to Voices for Healing with your host, Kathy Roberts. If you have a question or comment for the program, please send an email to Kathy at KathyRoberts.net. That's Kathy at KathyRoberts.net. Now back to Voices for Healing.
Welcome back, listeners. Hani and I were just talking before the break about how she helps men and their partners to continue to have positive sex lives even after treatment for prostate cancer, which so hugely impacts their sex lives on physical and emotional and psychological basis. Hani, can you pick up where you left off about how you help couples to continue to have intimacy and maybe even strive for more connection following the prostate cancer treatment?
Sure. And as I was saying, this is a real challenge because people don't like change, generally speaking. And change is difficult. And so I have to teach them to be patient, which is not easy. Great lovers are made. They're not born. And every change requires a lot of hard work and practice. You know, everything you're good at, you know, if you're good at basketball, you have practiced many, many hours for years with a lot of disappointments, with a lot of heartache, with a lot of, I don't know what. And why would sex be different? Just because it seems natural and it worked for a while in a certain way, now that you're trying to do something different, it will be the same way. You will have disappointment. You will try things that are not going to work. And it's kind of hard work, but it really pays because when it fits together and it kind of clicks, that it's so rewarding that it's amazing. And the idea that I'm trying to instill in couples who come to see me, or individuals, is that sex is a lot more than just penetration, than just intercourse. And I look at it as like going to a restaurant and they give you a menu and you decide what you want to eat. And, you know, one day you may want just to have an appetizer and just a specific appetizer. The next day you may want to have a full three-course meal. And one day you just want to have a dessert or whatever you feel like it. Well, in sex, it's the same thing. You don't want to always do the same thing, even if it does work. You want to vary. You want to try different things. You want to have fun with this. And I think that's what makes lovers be really good lovers, when they're willing to try different things and laugh about it when it kind of feels awkward, and communicate about it. And so, you know, I sit together with couples and we talk about different ideas and different fun activities to do, like, you know, having a picnic in the living room, having sensual massages. You know, I mm-hmm. talk a lot about sex toys and edibles that you can put on your body and then lick it off. You know, it could be a lot of different fun things to do.
Yeah, I really love what you said about changing the way you make love, taking effort, like anything else that you would value. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't expect to achieve mastery immediately in right. whatever you're doing. Yeah. And sex is so central to the connection of a couple's relationship that it seems to me like it would be worth it to Definitely. Put in the effort and try different things and do what you're suggesting, to kind of shake things up from the way you've always done things in order to have something new that might even be better. And you may even have more connection with your partner and a deeper intimacy mm-hmm. because you're meeting the challenge of
you know,
the crisis.
I think one way to go about it, and this is true for every couple in every situation, think about what it was like in the beginning when you were just starting out and you were all excited about the other person and you were not having sex yet. What was it like, and what were you doing? And when you started being sexual, you know, what were you doing? You know, some couples tell me they used to make out for hours, and it was so exciting. It was so much fun. And now they stop doing it because now they're having intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, think about what was it then and try to do it again. Bring it back to the relationship. And that will really carry the relationship for many, many years with a lot of good feelings and a lot of excitement and fun if you're able to do that.
That's beautiful. The other piece I thought was so helpful to couples that you mentioned was trying new things with a kind of lightness about it. And if you do something and you experiment and it doesn't quite work out the way you hoped or planned, well, that's okay. Maybe you can laugh about it.
Of course.
And you know, move on to something else or try that again. And just to have, yes, it's serious business and you want to experience pleasure and connection, and yet at the same time, lightness and enjoyment of whatever's going on is a big piece of having what you really want in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What tips do you have for couples who, maybe you've already begun to talk about it a little bit, but are there more tips that you have for couples who want to learn to make love in a new way and increase their intimacy and communication?
Well, one thing that I tell a lot of people to do is to have nonstop foreplay. And by foreplay, I mean every interaction you have before you actually have sex. So, you know, when you call each other during the day to talk about the laundry or, you know, ordering something from the store, that's an interaction. So it depends on how you have this interaction. If it's just very businesslike, then, you know, it's not going to be very exciting, of course. But if you, you know, you kind of flirt with each other while you're talking about other things, that could add a lot of fun to the relationship. Or if you make like a special effort to flirt and to be fun with the other person, like call in the middle of the day or text and say, I miss you, or what are you wearing, you know, or anything like that. That could be, you know, it adds something to the relationship. And you need that in order to have a good sexual life. You need some excitement on a regular basis. You cannot just decide, okay, we're going to go to whenever we have sex, that's when we put on, you know, the fun hat. It doesn't work that way. It has to be all the time. And I know it's hard, but it's really rewarding when it happens. The other thing that I tell people is to make dates to have sex. Because in our, you know, in our life can be really, really busy. There's always something going on, and especially when you're trying to avoid sex because there's issues, it's not going to happen. If you make a date to have sex, and it doesn't have to be, when I say sex, I mean anything sexual. There's no specific goals. It's just to be intimate, to be able to touch, to kiss, to talk, to caress, anything you want. It doesn't have to go further than that. But if you make a date, then you have something to look forward to. And you can emotionally prepare yourself. And think about it and maybe dress up for bed, you know, put on some nice lingerie or something like that. Maybe prepare some toys, some candles. Make it more of a special experience. I know, I can go on and on, but I know that we have a lot to cover.
Yeah. Well, what you're saying, though, is to keep the sexual connection going and see sexuality as more than just the act that you may have with someone, but be flirty and playful during just regular communications and make special time, set aside special times for some kind of pleasuring, which may or may not actually be genital, is what I'm hearing you say. But time just set aside to be with each other and enjoying each other in a broadly sexual way. So that's.
Yeah, I love how you summarize me.
Oh, good. Well, we've talked about a bunch about communication. Maybe we can go ahead and think of the partners of men with prostate cancer and what they can do, whether they're women or men, what partners can do to support and accept the changes that go along with the diagnosis and treatment beyond what we've just been talking about in terms of sexual connection, but other ways that partners can be.
That's a really good question. I think the most important thing is to be patient, to be understanding, to be there for their partners, so to speak. You know, this is, it's an individual issue for the men to deal with, which largely affects the couple situation. So there has to be sort of like a fine line that the partner has to walk on where they are letting the partner with the cancer diagnosis deal with their issues and be supportive of them, and at the same time also work on the relationship without kind of pushing them, you know, without putting too much pressure.
Yes.
Another thing is to take responsibility for your own sexual pleasure. And that means each one of the partners in the couple has to be able to enjoy and let the other person know what they want and what they need so that the other person doesn't have to be a mind reader, doesn't have to put pressure on themselves to figure out what works for the other person. That makes the whole interaction a lot less stressful, I think, if there's communication like this and everyone takes their own responsibility. That doesn't mean that there's no sharing of that, but at least the person knows what works for them and let the other person know.
Beautiful. While you're pausing and thinking there, okay. Just want to let our audience and you know that it's time for us to take another break, our final break. So listeners, stay with us. When we will return, we'll conclude our conversation about prostate cancer and sexuality. We'll be right back.
Save on your prescriptions with the RX Savings Plus Drug Discount Card, offered by Voice America. It is not insurance, and discounts are only available from participating pharmacies. But 9 out of 10 pharmacies participate nationwide. Start saving today. Print your free card online at voiceamerica.rxsavingsplus.com or text the word TALKRADIO to 96362.
Kathy Roberts is not only an exceptional radio host, she's an exceptional listener and counselor. Kathy appeals to motivated, high-functioning people to help them improve their health and vitality. Kathy can meet you where you are and help you identify what you want. Visit Kathy's website at www.kathyroberts.net or call her at 301-651-0019. Kathy works with both individuals and couples and specializes in grief and depression counseling. Get to know yourself by working with Kathy. Visit kathyroberts.net. Or call 301-651-0019. Kathy Roberts offers Circle of Voices teleclasses to help you focus your mind, engage your energy, and awaken your inner guide. Through this experiential and interactive series, you will know yourself more and learn to express yourself authentically in your personal life. Visit Kathy's website at kathyroberts.net to find out about this teleclass series, designed to open you to change and engage healing in the fabric of your life. Go to kathyroberts.net or call Kathy at 301-651-0019 for more information.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
You are listening to Voices for Healing with your host, Kathy Roberts. If you have a question or comment for the program, please send an email to Kathy at KathyRoberts.net. That's Kathy at KathyRoberts.net. Now back to Voices for Healing.
This is Kathy Roberts and guest Hani Maletsky discussing prostate cancer and sexuality. Hani, I have a few more questions for you, but before we get to them, I want to be sure that you can tell our listeners about any upcoming lectures or workshops you're giving and how listeners can get in touch with you.
Oh, thank you. Well, my website is www.drmiletsky.com. That's D-R without the period, and then M-I-L-E-T-S-K-I. And I'm actually going to be talking on a cruise. I'm going to do a couples enrichment program about how to stay in love and have fun and have sex for the rest of your life. And that cruise will be in December in the Caribbean. And I have all the information on my website, so I'm not going to take up time here, but it should be a fun experience. That's for sure.
It sounds great to be on a cruise, which is such a wonderful, lovely, sensual experience anyway, and getting couples enrichment there sounds really good.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah. Thanks, honey. Well, I know that one thing that everybody wants to know about is, okay, I have ED, erectile dysfunction. Well, what am I going to do about it? Tell us some about the treatment options for ED.
The good news is that there are a lot of different treatment options for ED. First of all, we have the medications that everybody knows about, Viagra, Levitra, Cialis, and there's a new one, Stendra, that works within 15 minutes. So that's one option, and I can go further into explaining how it works because the doctors usually don't explain, but I don't know that we have time for that.
Let's mark that, and if we do, we'll come back to it.
Okay. Then we have injections, which also work wonderfully, except that a lot of guys don't like the idea of putting a needle into their penis. There is Muse, which is something that you insert into your urethra, which I don't really recommend, but that's an option for some people. Vacuum therapy is a very good option, and you can turn it into one of your sex toys and have it part of your kind of foreplay, so to speak. And then, of course, if nothing else works, there's also the penile prosthesis, which also have, they work like 97% of the time. And they're a very good solution. Of course, there are also things that you always hear on the news. Don't smoke. Don't drink too much. Eat the food that is good for just general good health. Like don't eat red meat, don't eat processed foods, etc. And eat low-fat diet with soy products, consume green tea, olive oil and so forth. Another thing that I always tell my clients is that when you have erectile dysfunction, let gravity help you. You know, use the position where you are on top, because that could help as well. Other tips are to use a cock ring, which after you have an erection, you put the cock ring on at the base of the penis, and that holds the blood in place so that it doesn't go out of the penis. And that's, the blood that is in the penis is really what causes the erection. What else? Kegels. I hope everybody knows what a kegel is, because it's
Spelled K-E-G-E-L for those who might want to look it up if you don't know what it is.
Yeah, I'm just trying to go fast here.
Yeah. Well, you know what I would love for you to do, perhaps, because you've given so much great information here about the treatments for ED. Is there a website for people who maybe caught or wrote down everything that you said but want to know more about these options? Is there a place where people can go and explore this?
Yeah.
Online or, yeah?
Yeah, there are a few. There is renewintimacy.org. There is prostate-cancer.org. A Woman's Touch is a very good one, even though it's a woman, but it has a lot of information there for men. And it's spelled a-womans-touch.com.
Excellent.
And there's us2, U-S-T-O-O. .com.
So people can go to the website and find out more about the treatments for ED and how they work and some of the other information that you gave, perhaps about diet and behavior or antihistamines, Kegels for those who maybe don't, or Kegels, I don't know how you pronounce it, for those who don't know what they are, use of cock rings. People can find out this information on some of these websites. Is that correct?
Right.
Yeah, I think that's excellent. So that you've given the people just a great overview of prostate cancer and sexuality and a little bit about what it is, how to know, how it's diagnosed, and what you can do for treatment. And there are more resources out there that I think are important for people to know about and can look it up. We just have about a minute left. Can you tell us in maybe 90 seconds how oral medications work?
Oral medications, that's a good question. I'm glad we have some time for that. It's important to know that Viagra, which is the most popular medication, should be taken on an empty stomach at least 2 hours after a meal, and without alcohol. And it works within 30 to 60 minutes and up to 4 hours. And what happens is a lot of times men are not aware of it, and they go out, they have a nice dinner, they take the medication, and then it's not working because they had a full meal. Levitra can be taken with or without food, but alcohol is still not recommended. And it works within 60 minutes and good for about 5 hours.
Honey, are these in the information online and in the packaging, will men be able to read this? I notice we're coming up on, you know, right at the end of our show, and you have so much more good information. I wish we could go on for another half hour or so. But can men find out this information online or from their doctor?
They'll have to Google it.
They'll have to Google it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's excellent. Honey, I'm so grateful you've been on the show. You've given such good information. And if you can stay on the line, I'd like to chat with you briefly at the after we're off the air. And
to
our listeners, I'm so glad you were here. Really glad with such good information. And to our listeners, I want to thank you for being with us as well. Next week, I will be talking with an essential oils practitioner and also a HARP sound vibration healer. And I'm so looking forward to sharing these two healing modalities with you as well. So until next week, I ask that you transform loss and embrace vitality. And Voices for Healing will be back next week.
Thank you for listening to Voices for Healing. Please join Kathy Roberts again next Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We wish you the best recovery from your loss. And we'll talk again next week.